The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
It's a discussion of the latest entertainment news and celebrity gossip that go beyond the headlines. Welcome to Daily Pop, the podcast edition.
Yes! What is up, everybody, and welcome to Daily Pop. I am Justin here with Morgan and Melanie, and a big show today. A lot has happened in 24 hours. We're breaking down the best moments and fashions from country's biggest night, the CMA Awards. Then we're digging into the Survivor Me Too controversy. Plus, J-Lo is opening up about her own Me Too experience and what may have saved her from it. All that, and we have Adam Carolla stopping by later, but let's jump right on in. The CMA Awards were last night, and women in country music were honored big time during the opening number. Carissa was actually on the carpet talking all about it with Jennifer Nettles, but first, here's a little bit from the show.
That we were celebrating women on the CMAs this year. For me, it was an inspiration to take the conversation a step further and move beyond the congratulations and the spotlight and say, let's talk about what this is and that we need to play more women in country music. Yes, yes. We made this fantastic piece and it says, play our effing records, please and thank you.
Oh, okay.
And equal play.
Equal play.
What is more womanly than pointing a subversive finger with fashion? I can't think of a thing. Yes.
So good.
Oh, so good. She was so excited to talk about it also.
For sure, and I love that she made the point and she wasn't angry about it.
Nope.
She wasn't aggressive about it. It was just what's going on. But I have to ask you guys, is country music behind when it comes to recognizing, you know, female artists? And are all genres behind?
Music in general, I think there is an inequality, but in country music especially, there was this big study that happened earlier this year that was all about how there's only like 12% or something of country music songwriters are women and that female country music stars are played less on the radio. And that's really bad. And I love that the CMAs did this last night, but it's crazy that they have to get like women on stage to be like, hey, we are here, we have vaginas and play our music. Like,
11%.
Acknowledge us, see us. Like, it's bonkers that that is how in 2019 they have to start the show.
But I also feel like this morning when we were talking about it in the meeting, we were really surprised by that because I feel like when I think of country music, I mean, I think of the people that I know. So, like, I think automatically of Luke Bryan, but I think of more of Reba McEntire and Dolly Parton. And I feel like when I think of country music, I think more of women.
Right.
So I was really surprised to almost see and hear that that's not the case. I feel like they lead the charge in country music.
No, because they've crossed over into your sphere of pop culture.
But Reba McEntire hasn't necessarily crossed over in terms of like music and things like that. And Carrie Underwood, obviously, I know because of American Idol, and she's had a long career, and she maybe has crossed over a little bit more. But when I think of country music, I think of the women that sing it.
Yeah, but you don't think of just music. Think about Reba McEntire's on your TV screen. She's in commercials.
Fair.
She has TV shows. So I think a lot of times when you connect it to, it is. You're right. They are bigger when it comes to the overall moment, but when it comes to music play, there was that study Melanie was talking about where it was only 11%.
Which is insane to me. I would have never thought that.
It's insane.
So there are high-profile women, right? But there are less of them. And that's the thing. I think it, you know, when it comes to country music, the radio stations need to start treating female country music stars equally.
For yeah. Sure.
Play their music as much as they're playing the male music. And that actually comes down to who's running the radio stations and them, like, there being equality there too.
Yeah.
But it is a bit bonkers that we're in 2019 and having
and you have to like make your outfit
sure.
about play
this
my
is
music.
Like still a thing.
But it's
it
also
shouldn't be a thing.
It's also every genre has their own thing.
Yes.
And when you think about rap and R&B, there's always a beef. There's always like a competition that the genre puts on people. We saw it with the Nicki Minaj and Cardi B thing
yep.
with Biggie and Tupac.
Drake and
Chris Brown. You know, and as a woman in rap, you gotta have a beef. You also have to be overly sexy thanks to Lil' Kim and Foxy Brown.
You have to do all of the things.
All the things. In pop, again, it's the over-sex moment. So I think every genre really does have their own thing.
Battles.
This is just a battle for country music, and I'm not saying it's right. I'm just saying women in music have to put up with a lot.
This is the first battle in country music, so we haven't even got to diversity in country music.
Right.
And that's a whole other show.
Which I feel like we've broken into more this year, though.
Yeah, with Jimmy Allen,
right.
You have had more moments.
And Old Town Road.
Yeah, Lil Nas X.
Yeah. Right.
Let's talk about something that everyone is talking about today mm-hmm. on Twitter, the Survivor Me Too controversy. A contestant was accused of inappropriately touching another contestant. So here's a part of what happened last night.
When I first got here, Dan was like super kind and super helpful.
Yeah.
But then one night, like, the hands were wandering.
Was he doing that with Elizabeth too?
With everybody.
Before the merge, I hadn't met Aaron, Elizabeth, Missy, and Elaine. So when Missy and I started talking, we basically bonded over the fact that Dan has been extremely inappropriate. He's not like this.
Yeah.
And I'm like, why are you touching my rib cage? Like, it's super upsetting because it's like, you can't do anything about it. There are always consequences for standing up. This happens in real life and work settings. It's not in my head. Like, I'm not overreacting to it. It's like, no, like, he literally has done these things to five different women in this game.
Wow, ooh. Joining us now to discuss all of this is our TV expert, Tyranny. Nice. Tell me what happened on this episode.
Break it down for us.
I was not prepared for this episode of Survivor. I watch every week. I love this show. But this actually was addressed in the premiere episode because Kelly felt that Dan was being a little too touchy-feely with her, and she addressed it with him head-on. And at first, she said, I'm nervous about this impacting my game. And so I think once they came back together, because they separate the tribes at different points, and she heard from these other women that they were feeling the same way
so
as
there
her.
There were two other women that said that they felt the same way as her.
Two other women who she did not know were deciding to use these feelings about Dan to their advantage to get him out of the game at the time. It was gameplay to them to be like, oh, he made Kelly uncomfortable. Let's heighten that.
So they exaggerated it.
They exaggerated.
That is
how
not,
yes. not that's okay.
Not, that's not okay. You cannot do that. It's
but
something
this,
as serious as that.
I don't think they realized how upset Kelly had been because they are not privy to the, you know, one-on-one interview she's doing with a producer at the time.
Right.
So I think they were like, well, he is a little touchy-feely. You know, they weren't ever made to feel uncomfortable. They said that later on. But they, in Survivor, people have different lines. You know, what's okay, what's not, because they're like, this isn't the real world.
Well, it kind of sort of is the
exactly.
real world in the sense that you have people mm-hmm. in companies who want to say something, but they are afraid of how it's going to affect their game.
Mm-hmm.
And you 100%. Also have people who sit back and watch it. You also have other people who turn a blind eye to it. This is all happening in real life. And the one thing that I am so upset about, because I know it happens in real life,
yeah.
is the two women who exaggerated to use it as a form of play.
And that can destroy somebody.
They've survived, right?
Well, the funny thing is that Kelly is the one that got voted out.
Right.
She's
blindsided.
The person who had the original
exactly.
and authentic, like,
so
legitimate claims.
What happened then was at the next tribal council, there was an amazing conversation at the tribal council because the woman that was, you know, Janet, she's like the mom of the group. She had heard that these women were uncomfortable and she was like, I like Dan, but I need these women to feel safe. And so she voted against Dan at the time, and she felt blindsided by everyone using when she heard that they had exaggerated it. And at the tribal council, they were like, well, Janet, it's the game. You're playing the victim now. And finally, Jamal, one man.
I saw that.
He was amazing.
Meanwhile, he got voted out after that, by the way. So that's how Survivor works. And he said, because Kelly then had to sit there silent because jury members are not allowed to weigh in once they're voted out. the woman who actually had the claim had to sit there silent. And if that is not the embodiment of what goes on with the Me Too movement,
right,
then it doesn't matter if you're in an office, it doesn't matter if you're at a bar or on a beach on a reality show, this is happening,
mm-hmm.
and it's messy and it's complicated.
But let me ask you this question. Do you think CBS handled it correctly?
100. I actually really do, because when the producer, we saw the producer say to Kelly, if you want us to step in. At the time, Kelly said, no, like, it's okay, the players involved can handle it. When that producer shared what was going on with Jeff, though, Jeff Probst is the showrunner of the show. Mm-hmm. A lot of people don't know that.
I did not know that.
He is involved in everything.
Right.
He said, I'm going to CBS. They stopped gameplay, which is rare. They usually
never... Is this the first time they've ever done this?
They will step in if someone's injured. Like, when...
Yes.
You remember when that guy fell into the fire?
Yes.
Like, they will step in.
So, I know.
I'm on Survivor.
Survivor Man.
Yep. So they stepped in. They stopped gameplay. Or if, like, the hurricane happens and they have to pull them out
of the game. I would imagine.
So they spoke with everyone individually and as a group and said, if you were feeling, if you've been made to feel uncomfortable, say it now. And they went over again what is, you know, appropriate behavior. And they gave Dan an official warning. And they said, Dan, this is your official warning now. If it continues to happen, I think they were going to step in again. And so, but they gave everyone the space to say, you know, we are individual right now. If you truly feel uncomfortable or that, like,
let me know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I think
that's the way. And then, you have to handle it that way.
And then at tribal council, Dan was like, so we're not going to let this go. And Jeff goes, no, we will sit here till day 39. I will never let this go.
Damn.
And Jeff is such a stand-up guy.
I love Jeff Probst, you guys. He's so underrated. He's like the best TV host. And he said, this is the conversation that needs to happen. And he refused to take the mirror down Dan's face.
Are there repercussions for the two women who exaggerated that?
No, they're still in the game. And they look at it as, you know, this is the game.
But how is that fair for us? I mean, as a society, like that, we can't allow that to happen. That's,
well,
you cannot say that somebody is making you inappropriate if they are not.
Well, and that ruins
people's
lives.
It happens all the time. It happens all the time.
He's like outside of Survivor.
But he's a Hollywood talent agent, too. That's the most interesting
thing. I was going to ask you about that. Do you think that affects his career outside?
Yes. Always.
I think we'll wait to see in terms of, you know, obviously this might be addressed at the reunion. We're going to see this play out. You know, Kelly posted an Instagram, you know, saying it was very difficult to watch last night. Janet did as well. And so I think you're going to continue to see this conversation happen. And I think it's great. You know, people are like, why is Survivor still on? Well, watch last night's episode, people.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
Because it's handling a movement that a lot of shows don't even touch or want to touch.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh my God. Well, thank you for joining us.
Thanks, guys.
That was crazy. Yeah. Well,
you weren't here.
Watch Survivor, people.
Sticking with the Me Too movement, a Me Too story I never saw coming. J-Lo is sharing her own moment. She joined Scarlett, Lupita, Awkwafina, and Laura Dern, and Renee Zellweger at the Hollywood Reporter's Actress Roundtable. Here's what she said about a time a director actually asked her to take her top off.
Because I was supposed to do nudity in the movie.
Oh, they wanted to see your breasts?
He wanted to see my boobs. And I was like,
what they looked like before you?
Yes.
That is crazy.
He was crazy. And,
and. Oh my God, who was it?
And I said no. I said no. I stood up for myself. But it was so funny because I remember like being so panicked in the moment, like, oh my God. And by the way, there was a costume designer in the room with me.
Yeah.
And so it was another woman in the room with me, and he says this, and I was like, no. You know, luckily, a little bit of the Bronx came out.
Mm. I love that Scarlett asked.
Yeah,
she was. Who was it? And I bet J-Lo told her after the cameras stopped rolling, because that's the thing. Like, it's sharing information, right?
Right.
And Scarlett knows if she's asked to do a film with that person,
she's not going to do
no.
it. But I like that she was like, that's crazy, because that also probably speaks to Scarlett's experience during movies, right?
Yeah.
I feel
like this is something that does not happen to every single person, which is also kind of crazy.
Well, what I found interesting about this is that J-Lo was able to say no. I think most people who are not famous, she was able to say no because she's J-Lo.
No,
she was not J-Lo. This was before J-Lo was J-Lo.
J-Lo. She was still Jennifer.
And if you were in that position, don't you feel like you would have been like, you would have think like, it's just boobs, like, who cares?
If I had no power and that was, I would be like, do I have to do, am I going to lose my role if I don't do this? Is this normal? Like, I wouldn't have known.
But that's the problem. What happens is, and I mean this with all due respect to anyone, there are men and women in this industry who have had that reputation of they'll do anything, they'll go anywhere. And back in the 90s and the early 2000s, it was all the same people producing and directing and working on all the same movies. So if one casting director, one producer, one wardrobe person, our director got wind that you were that girl or she's just like that other actress
totally.
That you hit on, oh, I'm gonna
it's
try
really
it
easy
too.
To slide in this way or get this to
yes.
happen. Yeah.
So that's how it all starts in Hollywood. And I feel really bad for saying this, but some of the actresses and that you pointed out or said, you know, when you don't have that power early on, you know,
you do
just
whatever
do
it takes. And by the way, you know, if I was to be in that position and someone were to say, if I was J-Lo at that time and I didn't have the power that she has now, I probably would have been like, they're just boobs. He's the director. Maybe he needs this for the movie. It's not that big of a deal. Like, I would have just probably downplayed it, even if I was uncomfortable.
But
and I probably would have just done it.
But that puts a target on your back.
Which I wouldn't have even, maybe after the fact, I would have been like, oh, I would have learned probably later that's not really necessary. It didn't really add to the role. It didn't really add to my character. But if you think about it, it's like people like to downplay, oh, it's just a naked body. Everyone's naked all the time. Like,
in a movie, but not in a costume fitting.
But
like,
right,
you don't
yeah,
need to
but
see my titties in a costume fitting.
Well, we don't know the circumstances of why he maybe needed to see them.
You I know mean, what
he
a titty looks like.
He clearly didn't need to. He clearly didn't need to. But if I was a 21-year-old actress.
I agree with you.
I'm sorry. I don't know if I would have handled that. I would have been like, okay,
thank
yeah.
Thank goodness the costume director was also in the room, right? Because when they left the room, the costume director said to J-Lo, I'm sorry that that happened. Like, she knew it yeah. was unusual.
Yeah, but she probably would have not said a word. She wouldn't have said, hey,
she
Marty.
She would have let her take her top off.
Hey, Marty, I don't think this is appropriate. Maybe we shouldn't have her do this. Because a lot of times people are
she
scared of the repercussions.
She doesn't say who the director is.
I don't no, I'm just saying. Could. I'm just making yeah, up a name from, like, good. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, Marty.
Marty.
No, no,
oh,
no.
That just sounds like a
it's
directory
not a
name.
It's called Marty. It's, yeah.
No, for sure. Oh, my God. Well, you guys, coming up, Teresa Giudice opens up about her reunion with her husband, Joe. Is this marriage over?
Oh.
We'll get into that when Daily Pop continues.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Welcome back. We're checking in with you guys on social. Paula says she's noticed that female country singers are getting less radio play than men. She says, I have to curate my own playlist to include the women of country who are also putting out hits regularly.
Wow.
Mm.
I was very surprised about that. I mean, yeah. Just going to say that. But let's move on to Teresa Giudice. She just broke her silence after visiting Joe in Italy. While Joe and their daughters had posted photos on social about their reunion, Teresa did not.
Whoa.
Nope. You can tell from her interview on Good Morning America, things are super complicated.
There's always going to be a place in my heart for Joe. I'm always going to love him, no matter what.
Are you planning on filing for divorce?
No.
Do you see a future with him?
I don't know. Imagine he lived in Italy and you lived here. Mm-hmm. I don't know if that's like a feasible relationship. We're taking it day by day.
You'd be okay seeing him happy with another woman?
Of course, if that's the path we choose, mm-hmm. Yes. I do want happiness again. I want Joe to be happy. He said he cried, you know, after we left, he cried the whole day.
Ooh, okay, if Joe is able to come back, do you guys think they have a chance? Are they getting back together? I'm going with a no.
I see sparks.
Melanie, how do you see sparks?
Because they've spoken since she's left.
You've smoked something.
She smoked
we took
something
a shot and you were not a part of that. So why is this your opinion?
Shot this
of
morning.
Course we took
of
a shot.
Of course we took a shot.
We have to read things. Are you crazy? We took like five shots.
Yes.
Is that what you were doing while I was researching?
Yeah, absolutely. That's what I do every morning. That's why I'm still here.
Before the show. Oh my gosh, I feel left out.
No, I actually think it's over.
I think it's over.
I can get over infidelity. I could get over my husband losing our money. It would be hard, but I can get over it.
I would love to see Justin getting over his husband losing their money.
But if my husband did something to send me to jail for 11 months and then had to get in jail himself for 4 years and then live in another country. For me, I would have to be real with myself and say, this is not happening for
us. But darling, there's love. Your heart, I'm such a romantic. And like, things are not always convenient when it comes to romance.
I don't think, but I also think that they had issues with romance prior to them even going away. I think as we saw in the Jersey Housewives when he was, you know, there were scenes of him talking to other people on the phone. Yeah. There was a lot of stuff that happened that I think the relationship wasn't over. I think Teresa's a very devoted mother and wife. They obviously have 4 children together. But I think maybe some of the romance you speak of, there's a lot of resentment, I think, between the two of them. I mean, it was both of them. They both did something wrong. They both have served their time, so it's time for both of them to move on. But I think she probably loves Joe as the father of her children. I don't think she's romantically interested in being with Joe anymore.
Absence does make the heart grow fonder, but you know what else? When you've been with somebody for 20 years, and after that first 5 or 10 years, you start to, in your mind, believe that I cannot be without this person. He holds our family together. And all of a sudden, that person goes away for 4 years.
And you can be without him.
And you realize that not only you can be without him, your life is much better.
You're happier.
You're so much lighter. You become more independent. You have found yourself within that 4 years.
I agree.
Let me let you know something. 48 months is a long time to find yourself. Yeah. And guess what? A lot of people do. So when you see women say, oh, I'm going to hold you down while you're in jail. And then 5 months later, you look at your bank account and you're like, oh, I've actually saved $2,000 this month without feeding your happy ass. I'm good. These kids are good.
We'll see. Yeah. We'll see. This is kind of exciting.
So your vote is together. Our vote is not together.
I think they will. This time next year, I vote that they will be together.
Okay, let's talk about another couple then, or potential couple maybe. Let's talk about Matthew Perry and Courtney Cox. I know, I was shocked to see this. Mm-hmm. They were together on Friends, but apparently Matthew wishes they were together in real life. Us Weekly claims he's always been in love with Courtney and has never fully gotten over her. Do you buy this?
Can I tell you what happened here?
Yeah, I'm confused.
She posted a picture of the two of them, that's this picture here, on Instagram where they'd had lunch together. Us Weekly went into their newsroom and were like, oh, don't you think he's like longing to be with her? And oh my gosh, they were together in Friends. And let's like do this story. It's
you were in those offices, so we trust your word.
I was in that offices when they were owned by Rolling Stone, guys. It was a different time.
But you used to make up these stories too.
Yeah, all the time. No, Justin. No, we had really great reporting, but this is like it feels so made up.
I've actually heard this before.
That's a cute photo of them
from somebody who actually worked. On set.
Are you the source?
No, I'm not the source, because if I called Us Weekly, I'd get fired here. I actually heard this.
Well, not necessarily.
I actually heard this from a friend who worked on set. And, you know, looking at it, in my own experience, if you worked with somebody for a decade and you played lovers on camera, it would be, you know.
You're in love on some level.
It would be a moment for you to be like, wait, am I really in love with her? Or am I just in love with the Chandler Monica thing? It could get confusing. For instance, you and I have been friends for 9 years.
And we're in love.
In love. But sometimes I wonder.
Just me.
No, because we see each other every day. So now we don't see each other outside of work.
Right.
So sometimes those friend lines get blurred. I'm like, are we friends or are we just coworkers?
Right.
Because we don't see each other outside of here.
But then we also go to a party tomorrow night.
I do.
She didn't want to get lit by herself.
Thank you. That's true. That's also true. But I also. But I think it is true. I had a really good point and now I lost it.
Sorry,
it was about.
When you play lovers.
You play lovers, you think, because that's the truth. Because also Justin and I understand each other more than anybody because we realize, like, I'm not going to ask you for dinner at 9 o'clock because we have to be up at 5 o'clock in the morning. Like, there's an understanding. I don't think that this is necessarily true. And I think that if they were in love, they probably would have been together.
No, because you remember, right after Friends, she met David Arquette.
Yeah.
Fell in love and had a baby. And then after David Arquette, he was going through
his own
situation.
Who do you think out of the Friends cast, just complete speculation, I'm not saying that this happened. Who had sex between them?
Brad Pitt and Jennifer Aniston.
Besides them.
Oh, I think there was some, like, whenever there was, like Aisha Tyler might have, like...
No, I'm talking the original cast. Do you think any of them actually did anything together?
Like Ross and Rachel.
Do you think Ross and Rachel bumped uglies?
I don't think so.
They didn't.
Mm-mm.
Chandler and Monica? No.
No.
That's why no one's really in love on that show. No, you can't actually see anybody really hooking up.
Yeah.
They didn't have time to hook up. They were filming in front of a live studio audience.
Can we get back to what's really important?
Oh, yeah.
Can I have a shot?
Yeah,
please. Because I feel really
that was very rude. He gave us a big shot.
You put some in your tea.
You left me out.
Yeah, we did. Because, Melanie, you're so serious about your work, we didn't want to put our antics on you.
Okay.
And we couldn't give the teacher's pet a shot. She would have telling us.
Oh, my God. All right. Still ahead, Disney Plus puts a warning on some content. Is it enough? We'll get into that just ahead, you guys.
Tracy Glick.
Welcome back, guys. Disney Plus is including a disclaimer on some of their more controversial content, and viewers are not sure that they like it very much. When the streaming service launched earlier this week, fans were surprised that certain titles came with an alert. Now, it said, this program is presented as originally created. It may contain outdated cultural depictions. The disclaimer pops up on classics like Dumbo, The Jungle Book, Peter Pan, Lady and the Tramp, and a few more. Disney has yet to comment on this story, but are they doing enough?
Smart move.
I think so.
They're doing enough.
They're doing everything they possibly can. These are classics. It was a different time. Things were more acceptable back then. We live in a very PC world at this point. People are not allowed to step out of lines. And I think back then, obviously, things were not appropriate. And I'm happy that we've evolved as a culture and a society. But I think for them to even put that warning shows, like, this is not where we stand now. This is not what we believe in. But we didn't make this movie, but we're still going to air it because it's a classic.
Yeah. They also put that out so they don't have to get tweets and emails.
Right, which is smart.
They're getting tweets, though. So, you know, Twitter, which knows everything, as you guys know, says that they're not doing enough. And the reason being is because Warner Brothers actually, with their disclaimer, because they have a similar thing, they say this content contains racial undertones or racial references, like it's racist. And so they're actually like point out where the discrimination is rather than saying, oh, we're gonna like put this disclaimer here and hopefully you don't.
But it is Disney. It is Disney. Maybe they want to have a softer approach. I mean, these are children's classics. I mean, obviously not saying that any sort of racial anything in a movie is okay. I'm just saying, like,
what are they gonna say?
Then don't watch the movie.
It's totally fine.
Just don't watch Peter Pan. It's not the best one anyway.
And by the way, the amount of money it would take to edit out all of the racial and cultural. You can't edit them out without losing the
story. If you edit, you're erasing the prejudice and you're erasing what's happened to people.
For sure.
So you can't, like, I think you have to show the content because you can't say, oh, we didn't behave badly in the past. Like, you need to show that this happened and not minimize.
But I don't think they're trying to minimize it, though, Disney, do you?
I don't think they're going to show the content.
No, I think
it
they're trying.
It could also be seen that they're erasing that bad behavior. Like, we need to remember that these things happen and that stories were told in this way so that we understand, like,
why stories are told differently now. But also, in terms of, like, if you have Disney Plus, I'm just wondering, like, who watches classic Disney films? Because I feel like if I had a child now, she's watching Frozen. She's not watching Sleeping Beauty.
No, you're watching everything.
You're watching every single thing.
100%.
Because I feel like when I think about friends that have children, they're watching things that are current. Like, nobody's going back and being like, here's Sleeping Beauty. Like, we all watch Sleeping Beauty. The scene with the dress when it changed colors.
Yeah. My favorite.
Never forgot it.
I mean, that is my favorite Disney scene.
It is ever. That's when I knew I was a human being when I saw that scene. I was like, what's happening to the dress?
I love fashion. Yeah. That and Lady and the Tramp kissing.
Yeah. That was the later time for me.
But let me ask you this question. Should we put it in front of books as well? Because I remember reading Huckleberry Friend in elementary school and junior high, and no one said, hey, by the way, this is going to have some racial undertones.
Yep.
Like, you guys better be careful. You know, so when you come to the N-word next to Jim, you better be ready to, like, hook it up.
That's a very good point. And actually, I think with new, like, as they republish books, maybe there will be in the future. Maybe that's something that HarperCollins will decide to do.
Books that are online.
I just feel like we can't just pick and choose what industries we want to, you know, write about. Listen, there are rap songs that say the N-word. There are rap songs that talk about white people. There are rap songs that say F the police.
And bitch
and all
that.
Are we coming with the NRA? I mean,
there's a parental advisory warning and that's it. And you kind of, if you listen to that music, you know what you're signing up for.
Anyway, all right, guys, up next, we're rounding up the hottest looks from the CMA Awards, so don't go away.
If you like a good murder mystery story, you'll love June's Journey. A free hidden object mobile game where Detective June Parker unravels the mystery of her sister's death. Travel back to the beautifully illustrated 20s, find clues, discover hidden objects, and watch the story unfold with new chapters released weekly. Put your detective skills to the test. Download June's Journey on Android or iOS or play online via Facebook games.
I'm 4 months. How far along are you?
I'm 4.5. I think that's the half. That's the half of 9, right?
Like
I'm 20
weeks. 20
weeks? Yeah.
Oh my God! Congratulations!
Yeah. I wore blue for boy.
Aww.
So that's
baby
the theme.
Boy.
Yeah.
Be easy.
Never, ever. Ugh. That is Maren Morris on the carpet for country's biggest night. She's kicking off today's fashion roundup. Woo. This is her baby blue look. I loved it.
I love it too. Showing off her midriff when you're pregnant, amazing.
She's giving me Gaga vibes when she showed up in that big blue moment.
Oh, the Valentino moment. Yes. Such a good callback.
That's what it reminds me of.
I loved it. I thought it was really, really whimsical and beautiful, and I love the sort of like effortless shape of the top. I thought it was amazing. Carrie Underwood stepped out in a Jared Lair dress.
Oh, this is gorgeous.
I don't like this one very much. I don't love the blue train and the applique. I mean, for me personally, this is just not my personal favorite style dress. Justin, what do you think?
You know what it is?
I just don't love it.
There's so many things going on with the high, low, and the applique, and the train. I think if she had just ripped the train off and just gone with a black slip instead of a new one that didn't match, I think it would have been a bigger hit.
Yeah, I think the dress is exactly what you said. It's just trying to do too much, and I think it's also a dress that we've maybe seen her in before. I feel like something different would have worked better.
I don't know, a veil or a cape or a train or whatever. I just love
it's the dress. It's because you think you're in a Disney movie.
Yeah. Well, there you go. It was Versace for Nicole Kidman. Yes!
I didn't love this.
Melanie! Then you didn't take your shot. What's wrong with you? This is amazing.
I have tequila, guys. They actually bought it for me.
I love this. This is fashion for me all day.
No, take the shot, Melanie, because you cried about the shot.
You did.
Oh, there you go.
We all took it, and you're not taking it.
Oh, you cried about the shot, and now you're not going to take it.
Drink it.
Give it to us.
We'll drink it for you.
Keep on going.
Okay, everyone was talking about this one, Hannah Brown in Atelier Zura.
Let me swallow Melanie's shot first, and then I'm going to talk about
this. I love this dress.
This is so unbelievable. This woman looks like she is nominated for a CMA and had the number one album this year.
And she did not.
She didn't even have a song.
At first I had to think about it.
Ooh. No, take it. Take the rest of it. She's not getting it.
I have to read. Okay, Kacey Musgraves. I mean, I kind of like it, by the way. Okay, Kacey Musgraves wore a sequin Valentino dress. This, to me, there's not one thing I don't like about it. Only thing I don't love, it's Valentino. I love it. I get it. I understand it. I think it makes sense. I just don't like the shoes.
So hold on, you think
should have been a silver strappy.
The dress with the veil or the train is too much, and you don't think that this is
a lot, but this makes sense. This is like a map of perfect. The other one was trying to do five different dresses.
Drink the shot. I would have loved this dress had it been short.
Sorry, Mel.
Had they cut it short, it would have been fabulous.
No!
It needed to be short.
No, it looks good. Okay.
I mean, I love it too, but I don't love too much. Ali, can I have another shot, please?
No, she doesn't get it.
So she can just look at it?
Gigi Hadid was Casey's date. She wore Helmut Lang.
You know what?
I like this.
It's a great outfit, but the Country Music Awards, for me, the reason why I love them so much is because you can go over the top. It's almost a little cucaracha. You need to have something else to go with this. It's too slick.
Oh, I love the fact that the boots and the dress are all the same.
I liked it, too. Okay. Well, lastly, Pink paired her Giulia Domani dress with a hat.
I actually love this.
I like it. I think it looks good.
This is what I'd wear to the farmer's market.
I would date her.
I love it.
Oh, my God. Okay. Coming up, comedian Adam Carolla is here. He has an important new documentary. We're talking all about it, so don't go away.
You have the right to remain silent. Anything you say will be used against you.
You are not listening.
I want your job to be taken from you.
A protest has turned violent at California, Berkeley.
This is why we're fighting for the soul of America.
You should be able to share ideas without fear of being fired from your job or shouted down.
Please welcome the legend, Adam Carolla, everybody.
Thank you. Thank you, Peanut Gallery.
I'm not gonna lie. When I heard Adam Carolla documentary, I thought, oh, this is gonna be funny, it's gonna be lighthearted, but No Safe Spaces is not that. How did this idea come about?
I've been a fan of Dennis Prager for a long time. I always listened to talk radio. I grew up in LA. I was a carpenter, and I used to work alone, and I used the radio to sort of keep me company. And so I listened to all the talk radio guys, And at some point, Dennis and I start going out, doing some engagements and some lectures and some speaking and stuff like that. And at some point, the producers just came to us and said, you want to work together and make this film about what's going on college campuses? And I'd been talking to a lot of my comedian friends who said they're not playing college campuses anymore. They don't want to hassle. People are too judgmental. Yeah. They're too uptight. They can't tell their jokes anymore. And so this whole kind of stew was brewing, which is on the sort of comedy side. A lot of the comedians I'd been talking to had just said, done with college.
Yeah, we saw Pete Davidson just go through that whole thing.
Right, and everyone, and guys like Seinfeld and those guys who just said, like, screw it, I'm not going to college. I'm not playing college. I mean, Imagine comedians not playing college campuses because the college campus was too uptight.
It's crazy.
That is a crazy time we're living in. Well, I don't know, what do we want to call it?
Well, I just...
Sheltered.
Are they sheltered? I don't know.
Are.
By the way, it's my job to, like, argue these things. So I'll just say that.
But,
like,
she's just
but you know, if you are, like, I feel like there is some, for example, when we point out, let's look at the Kevin Hart situation, right? And pulling out of the Oscars or not having the Oscar hosting job anymore because he had tweeted things that were, or said things that were offensive in the past. Like, is it wrong that we now look at those things in retrospect and say, you know what, you can't say those things, you can't, you should be more apologetic. We should be more woke nowadays.
Well,
is that wrong that we've like educated ourselves?
I think there's a difference between being progressive and things like gay marriage. You know, like if you would have said to people, I mean, people lie, but if you tapped the average person on the shoulder 20 years ago and said, should gay people be allowed to be married? People go, what? No, they can't have two dudes. Like, and now you tap the average person on the shoulder and they go, yeah, so what? Do what you want, you know?
Time change.
And that's fine. Like that part of progression, you know, or whatever. You want to smoke pot on your stoop of your apartment. I'm like, who cares? There's a progression, kind of that. But there's a regression in terms of language. Like, we're buttoning down on what people say, what people think.
Less free speech.
Yeah.
Yeah, and the thing about, like, I don't know, something like Kevin Hart, he makes a joke. You can argue, is it funny? Is it offensive? But then he apologizes. It was 8 years ago or 10 years ago. Fine, turn the page. I mean, speaking of turning the page, people are like getting into people's yearbooks and finding out what they said in 1987 stuff. It's just, and also, who does it benefit? Like, really, who are we talking about? Like, who's the recipient of the benefit of finding the guy's yearbook,
and
finding the picture, going back in time 26 years, and getting him fired?
Yeah.
Does that benefit his family? Does that benefit society as a whole?
It does benefit society, though, because then comedians in the future will be more aware, and hopefully not too much.
That,
like, there
but
has
hold
to
on.
Be a balance.
I disagree
you
with
want
that.
Comedians on stage second-guessing themselves? Because that's what you're
want.
Creating. You're creating the people that we used to look to, you know, Lenny Bruce and Richard Pryor and guys like that. We love those guys because of their stream of consciousness and because they would go places that other people wouldn't go. And we turned them into cult heroes specifically because they were unfiltered.
And they went there.
And now you're creating a whole new breed of comedians who is second-guessing themselves when they take the stage. And they are. And they do. And I know the comedians. And they're like, I don't want to get into this. So these are the comedians. They're not the school teachers. They're not the politicians. They're not school bus drivers. They're comedians. We put them in nightclubs. We give them a microphone. And they go up on stage and second-guess themselves. Yeah. I don't think we want that.
Oh, my God. We don't want that at all. And you know what? I need you to stick around, because we have much more to talk about. Melanie's going to get her finger sharpened. We'll be right back for more Daily Pop. No, if I go to a comedy show and I'm not offended at least once, I'm out. And I want my money back.
What is even offended? Like, that's your choice.
We are back with Adam Carolla. Now, we talked about, you know, how things have changed on college campuses. What effect do you think we'll have on the future generations now that we have these kids that are in college living in this PC bubble?
I've been really trying to figure this one out. Like, what is creating this and how have we gotten to this place? And I've kind of had a couple thoughts. And to answer your question, it won't be good when everyone who's infected gets out
and
starts spreading the disease everywhere. But I was like, how did we get here? And I realize it's a self-esteem movement. The self-esteem movement, everyone thinks is a great thing, but it's not a great thing. It makes a bunch of individuals who feel great.
Yeah.
But it doesn't make a good society if everyone individually feels like $1 million, it's a bad society because I can spit my gum out on any sidewalk I want because it's me and it's my gum. And I don't care who steps in because I'm not stepping in because I feel great about myself. Every one of these kids, think about the self-esteem it takes to be a 19-year-old student on a campus. It's not your school. You just attend the school for 4 years, hopefully, for your parents' checking account's sake.
Bye for me.
You're there, and you're 19, and you find out some 50-year-old wants to come speak on your campus, and you think, not on my watch. I disagree with what this old person has to say, so I'm not going to let this happen. Think about what that takes. When I was 19, I didn't think I had a vote.
Yeah.
You know, if somebody wanted to come, I didn't go to college either, but if someone wanted to come onto my construction site, I wasn't like, I have to vet them first.
Yeah.
I have to make sure they get through my HEPA filter. I was like, that person's going to come on this campus and they're going to speak and I'll be over here playing hacky sack.
Because you don't have to go and listen to it.
But do you even need, like as a comedian, do you even need college campuses anymore? Like
no.
Theoretically, you need like, and you have it already, like the internet, and you can say...
Yeah,
anything, anywhere, and
you don't need college campuses. They need you.
I agree with that.
That was heavy. The college kids need to hear the voices. They need to be pushed.
Of the things that they don't necessarily agree with, and
I don't know. First off, who cares what everyone agrees with and disagrees with? I mean, I live in L.A. We run this city like garbage. I disagree with 90% of the stuff that's going on in L.A. What do I do? Light myself on fire or chain myself to a lamppost? Like, I disagree. This stuff you disagree with all the time, it surrounds you.
Yeah.
I don't get why I disagree with this cat figurine.
I love
okay.
that cat.
Well, that's where we differ. And I knew it would be an
cat.
Issue.
It's my favorite.
But the point is what am I going to do? Go home and commit suicide or I just keep walking?
So what do you see as a future?
The future is I think we have to nip this in the bud because I feel like by the time we get to the college campus, the cement in the kid's brain is already kind of dried.
Mm-hmm.
It's got to be a little wet. Got to be able to put your initials in that sidewalk, you know? And the parents need to stop feeding them this load of garbage that the world revolves around them and they're special and they're a special snowflake and no one else exists but them and whatever, because college campuses are now a large group of people that all feel like super special individuals. And that's not going to bode well for the next speaker who wants to come to the campus and share ideas
and thoughts
that these kids may not have heard before.
It's called open thinking, and we're not getting it anymore. That's the problem.
I think we are. I just think we're getting it on Twitter.
Yeah, but I think
like
some
that,
people
which is
aren't.
Actually can be bad.
But I think some people aren't even open to other ideas, and they're shutting them down before you can even hear what someone is saying, and that's the problem.
I totally
it's
agree
that, hey,
that.
How do I learn and grow and come up with a better argument if I can't even hear yours?
Well, also, hearing some bad ideas help you shape your good ideas.
Amen.
How many, you know, look, my family, bunch of losers, right? And They don't have cable, so it's fine. It's $19 a month, you know. And my thing is, like, I use my dad and my mom as negative role models. Like, I go, what would my dad do? And then I do the opposite. What would my mom do? I do the opposite. I've built a very successful career by doing the opposite of what my parents do. I mean, we see people, you know, what was Scared Straight? Scared Straight is drag a bunch of delinquents into the prison, have a bunch of guys yell, give me your goddamn shoes, and then have the kids go, I don't want to end up like that guy. So there is there's a positivity from a negative impression as well.
You're right. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you.
You
and
guys.
Thank you for drinking tequila.
Yes. Everyone should have start their day with a mug of Don Tequila. It's so much better.
No Safe Spaces is out in select cities. You need to see this documentary. Get on Google right now. We'll be right back with more Daily Pop. When is this going to come out? Well, like,
It's going nation now.
We are going to read some more of your thoughts on our story so far while Melanie tries to take another shot.
Or one shot.
Danielle is pretty sure Teresa and Joe are done. She says, sounds like goodbye to me. Okay. And Mel says, Teresa and Joe, can they make it? More like, should they make it? And the answer is absolutely not. I kind of sort of agree. And on Disney Plus, new disclaimer, InterName says, I love how people can overlook racism because it's Disney. LOL, just don't put it on the streaming service.
All right, guys, I'm going to end the show by doing this.
And you guys, don't forget to follow us on Instagram and Twitter at eDailyPop. We will see you tomorrow.
Bye.
For some more juice.
Finally, we did a whole show.
Wow. She didn't drink it. It's all.
I did drink it. He's lying.
Oh my God.
Thanks for listening to the podcast edition of Daily Pop. Remember, we've got a new episode every day. Make sure to subscribe and have a great rest of your day.